It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Now, our film critic Dan Hudak speaks with a renowned actor, producer, and writer recently in town to promote his new film, I'll See You in My Dreams.
He's a manly man amongst men, a highly respected character actor who brings gravitas to his performances with the depth of his voice and the gentility of his eyes. It's no surprise that Sam Elliott has been a fixture on the big screen for decades. But even I admit I was surprised that the ladies at the press screening of Elliott's latest film, I'll See You in My Dreams, were cooing every time the 70-year-old actor graced the screen. In the film, which was directed by Brett Haley and is in theaters now, Elliott plays Bill, a retiree who becomes smitten with a widower played by Blythe Danner. While the focus of the story is Danner's Carol, she and Elliott share an easy chemistry that makes their character's relationship all the more enjoyable. Here's a peek from the film's trailer.
I want to have lunch with you. What's your name?
Yes.
Your name is Yes?
Carol.
I'm Bill. People that retire with all their money, they don't know what to do with themselves. I didn't want to end up like that. I don't like being alone.
Is there something you'd like to share with the group?
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
People can spend their whole lives trying to find that feeling, and at the end, everybody gets it.
'Cause I cried a river over you.
We recently sat down with two-time Golden Globe nominee Sam Elliott inside our WLRN studios in downtown Miami to discuss his career and I'll See You in My Dreams, which is in theaters now. Sam, thank you for joining us on Arts Beat. It seems like you're showing a bit of a softer side as Bill in I'll See You in My Dreams. Is that why you took the role?
It's a good part of the reason why I took the role. I think maybe the truth of it is as I age, I am getting, in fact, softer. But that's one of the things that appealed to me about this piece, yeah.
But you're known as a manly man type. So you're not worried about your reputation or going soft or anything like that?
Yeah. No. I guess it's you know, I'll take that. I'm happy to be, you know, known as a manly man if that's the case. You know,
I wanted to ask, do you ever do any of the following effeminate things? Because these are things that we can't imagine Sam Elliott ever actually doing. So, for example, have you ever gotten a pedicure?
No.
No. Have you ever enjoyed a musical?
A musical?
Yeah, musical.
Sure.
Musicals, good.
Yeah, I love musicals.
Any particular favorite?
I am musical myself, so I like music. I love music.
A favorite musical to name?
No.
No. Okay. Have you ever used the term metrosexual?
I don't know what that means even.
Right. So then,
no, that's not in my vocabulary.
That's the no I was looking for. Have you ever had an alcoholic drink that came with fruit and an umbrella?
I can't. Maybe when I got married, maybe when Catherine and I were in Hawaii, I might have had a Mai Tai or something that came with a big spear of pineapple, so that qualifies.
Oh, but that we're talking 30 years ago, right? 30 plus years ago?
Yeah.
All right.
Not
good.
Lately, for sure.
Have you ever worn yoga pants?
No. I'm absolutely sure of that.
Okay, enough of the silly questions. working with Blythe Danner in the film, obviously she's immensely talented. You have a wonderful chemistry. It seems easy for you guys on screen. Was it always that way, or did you have to work to get there?
I think it was easy from the get-go, and I think the reason for that is because of what both of us have brought to it in being in this business for 50 years. We'd never crossed paths before. I'd never seen her anywhere. We'd never spoke. I'd never talked on the phone. Never met her.
Wow.
I just admired her from afar, like a lot of other people. And, you know, I think she got her actor's equity card 50 years ago. I've been acting for 47 years. So it's one of those strange things about the picture business. You know, there are a lot of people I probably assume that we all know each other, but not the case. You know, and Blythe is really an East Coast girl, and I'm a West Coast guy. So that's a big part of it, I would suppose.
Anything else about working in the industry all these years that surprises you from then till now? Because your start was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Mm. And then you're still working. You're still active.
That's the big surprise. I'm still working, I think. You know, I've seen a lot of changes in the movie business. I got into it in the 60s, and I started out at 20th Century Fox under a contract program as a contract player. Mm-hmm. Saw the whole end of that whole contract player thing come down at Fox and Universal. Those were the last two studios that had that. And now, I've seen a lot of transition and seen television come in and seen the digital age come in. And, it's on some level the same game, but it's vastly different in many respects.
What do you think of movies today in general? And I know it's a terribly broad question, but the way movies are made or the types of movies that are made and popular today as opposed to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, what are your thoughts on those?
Well, I feel like on some level there's room for all of it. It's certainly diverse. For me personally, I would much rather do these independent films like I'll See You in My Dreams is. I've got another picture coming out in August called Grandma with Lily Tomlin that is another independent film. And they were both two of the best experiences that I've had as an actor over those 47 years. And it's just that it's just a group of people that, they're not, you don't have a bunch of people hanging over your shoulder. You're not beholden to a studio. And it's a group of people that have gotten together. Nobody's really getting paid much money, but you're all in concert and all trying to pull this thing off and get this film made. So it's a real joy on that level. And at the same time, there's certainly a marketplace for these big studio pictures that are being made now. I must say I'm a little, not sick of it or amazed. I tend to be a little bit of a cynic, I think. And to see all these sequels continually just getting made one after another in the same kind of mindless entertainment. And maybe that's why they're so successful, because you can go in and just shut it off, and you certainly don't have to think about anything when you're watching something that's primarily computer generated. I still love the business. That said, I love the game. I have no intention on retiring and want to just keep going. Retirement seems pretty final to me somehow. I don't even like the word.
We're talking with Sam Elliott. The film is I'll See You in My Dreams. It's in theaters now. Is there a role that you've done for all the work you've done that you're most recognized for? People come up to you on the street and say Strikes and Gutters, Ups and Downs, or Big Lebowski,
There's a few. There's a few. And the reason I think that they're there, or if I'm known for anything in particular, is because of the fact that they rerun a lot of them, whether it's on the Western Channel or what it might be, but Tombstone and the Big Lebowski, as you mentioned, and MASH, Roadhouse, not MASH, Mask, you can tell I've been doing this for a while, and Roadhouse, those are the obvious ones, those are the ones that people most, often comment on.
Roadhouse was good stuff.
Mindless entertainment. Boy, talk about it. It looks like the ultimate male fantasy movie. Yeah. But I've had a number of women tell me that was their favorite film as well. So,
Patrick Swayze.
He was a man.
Yeah, late 80s. Yeah, he was a long way.
He was quite a guy, Patrick.
So, Lebowski, do you get a lot of attention for the Big Lebowski? Invited to conferences, conventions?
Yeah, I tell you, it's an amazing thing, that whole thing. I've never gone to one of those, but I've heard stories about them, and I've been invited to it too, but man, I'd be afraid to go to one of those things to really show up.
But I've always thought you were essential in that film, because your voice grounds
it. Well, he's the storyteller. He's the guy telling the tale.
But you ground it in a certain kind of depth and reality, because so much of it is just surreal and crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're there to kind of level things out. In the very beginning, your voice, and then you appear in the end.
Yeah.
I think it was very choice casting from the Coen brothers.
Thank you. I was very fortunate to get that. I was on location doing a picture with John Milius when I got that script, and I was actually very excited to read it because I knew it was a Coen brothers script, and I thought, wow. I'm going to get a chance to play one of those wacky Coen Brothers characters and get rid of the cowboy image, right? As I was, I've gone through periods of my lifetime where I felt like I was kind of boxed in terms of people's perception of what I could do or couldn't do. And I kind of bridled or bristled at that whole cowboy thing for a time. And here I get this script. I go back to the room and I start reading this script. And right off the top in the description of this voiceover, it's like the Southwest accent. And the song Tumbling Tumbleweeds is playing. And here's this voice sounding not unlike Sam Elliott. And I'm like, wow. It was pretty cool that they put my name in their script, I thought. And they even spelled my name right, too, so that was good. And it was the same when I showed up, when the guy shows up, when the stranger shows up in the bowling alley and sits down next to Jeff. Here the guy comes, and he's got a cowboy hat on, and he's dressed like a cowboy and looks not unlike Sam Elliott. So pretty cool working with those guys. They're brilliant filmmakers and a lot of fun.
Do you miss playing a cowboy now, ever?
Yeah, I'm not done with that. I'm going to do more of it. I love that genre, and it's been really good to me. I've since gotten over that being sensitive about being boxed in. I've now come to grips with it, and not only that, but I realized that if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have had a career. Because, it was like the Coen Brothers is because of the Western image about me and the same about a movie called The Golden Compass. Other things have come to me because of, for better or for worse, being kind of that iconic kind of Western kind of character, And I think on some level, the thing that helped me get over it, too, was that at least, it's not like it was afflicted with something and I had to get over it. But it dawned on me that these bikers and these soldiers that I've played in my life as well, they're all of that kind of Western ilk. They're all kind of the same kind of guy, that kind of solitary man that's capable and so forth.
Please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat, the conversation between film critic Dan Hudak and esteemed actor, producer, and writer Sam Elliott continues in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now we return to the conversation with our film critic Dan Hudak and his esteemed guest.
Talking with Sam Elliott, the star of I'll See You in My Dreams in theaters now. What advice do you give to a young actor with all your years of experience, young actor coming up in the game? How do you sustain success?
I think good fortune is the thing that, I be honest with you, I wouldn't advise anybody to get in this game and do it lightly. I would forewarn them that it's a rocky road. There's more rejection in this world than anything I know, and that's the hardest part to deal with because you lose so much more than you get. It's just part of the game. But if you're passionate, if you're passionate about it, that's the number one thing. You've got to be passionate. We got to follow our dreams and follow our passions, I think. But you really do have to be passionate about it and be a little thick-skinned.
Any particular rejection you've suffered that you care to share with us on a role you would have been perfect for?
That I never got over? No, there isn't any.
I guess you just kind of move on, right?
I think looking back, I can't even think about it. I mean, certainly there's disappointments along the way, stuff you didn't get, but my disappointments, I think, are more related to things that I did do that I felt like I fell short on, or things that I did that didn't continue on, like The Golden Compass. I mentioned The Golden Compass. It was a trilogy of incredible books.
Yeah, I agree.
Philip Pullman, exceptional books. And we did the first one, and that character that I was playing really blossomed in the second book, and I was dying to do that second book. but the movie didn't make money, you know, and oddly enough, I think it was, I don't know why, but, you know, I've often credited Philip Pullman for kind of knocking that thing off its tracks when he got up in front of the International Press Corps in New York the first time and told them all that he was an atheist. It was like the Catholic Church came knocking at the door very quickly, man, and they just laid waste to the picture.
Also, one last thing on the roles you've done in TV, mm-hmm. playing Ron Dunn, the Ron Swanson counterpart in Eagleton and Parks and Recreation, as the polar opposite, but kind of very similar at the same time.
Yeah.
Just an absolute delight.
What a joy. What a joy that was, and a great opportunity that came along. Last year proved to be the most interesting year for me, I think, because diverse material came my way. I got a chance to do some funny stuff, you know, and I got a chance to just do things that I'd never done before.
Like fall in love on screen.
Yep.
Not that you'd never done that, but...
Yep. Well, it's a different kind of thing, though, and this was really such a well-crafted piece, and working with Blythe was just pretty incredible. But working with Nick Offerman and that whole bunch there at Parks and Rec, it was truly a gift. And I did this other thing, too, for the FX channel called Justified that was equally just a wonderful journey. I mean, when you get an opportunity to work with smart people that generate great material, it just doesn't get any better than that.
And also in the last year, I read that you were inducted into the International Mustache Hall of Fame, which seems like that.
Which, what the hell does that mean?
There's
right?
an International Mustache Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, a cool honor.
Yeah, I don't know what this thing about my mustache is. A lot of people talk about my mustache. It's very bizarre. I had a request from Esquire magazine recently to do an article based upon my mustache, and I thought, really? I mean, I've never. I don't know. It's just bizarre.
It's the mustache and the voice. It makes me want to get a whiskey and steak and smoke a cigar with you.
Well, so, let's go do that.
Darn right, Ed. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. I'm happy, but I'm also happy mustacheless. You know, I shaved it off for this thing that I did on FX, and I was happy I did. It's just hair, as I always say.
Sam, thank you very much for the time. Truly a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Dan. Nice to be with you.
There's a mustache hole. I was like, what the hell is that?
Can you imagine?
Sam Elliott has starred in 40 feature films and has worked in television throughout his career. His latest film, I'll See You in My Dreams, is in theaters now. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Let's go bowling. Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at punchdrunkmovies.com. Well, I just can't let this opportunity go by without including the final scene of the Coen Brothers' cult classic, The Big Lebowski. Here's Jeff Bridges and Sam Elliott.
And when you're sitting there in your silk upholstered chair, talking to some rich folks that you know, well, I hope you don't see me in my ragged company. All that you know, I could never be alone.
Two old sodas, Gary.
Right. Good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Oh, sorry to hear about Donnie.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you eat the bar and sometimes, you know. Hey, man.
How do you do, dude?
I wondered if I'd see you again.
I wouldn't miss the semis. How things been going?
You know, strikes and gutters, ups and downs.
Sure, I've got you.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Well, take care, man. Gotta get back.
Sure. Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that good knowing he's out there, the dude, taking her easy for all us sinners. Shush. I sure hope he makes the finals. Well, that about does her. Wraps her all up. Things seemed to have worked out pretty good for the dude and Walter. And it was a pretty good story, don't you think? Made me laugh to beat the band. Parts, anyway. I didn't like seeing Donnie go. But then I happen to know that there's a little Lebowski on the way. I guess that's the way the whole darned human comedy keeps perpetuating itself. Down through the generations. Westward the wagons. Across the sands of time until we... Oh, look at me. I'm rambling again. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail. Say, friend, get any more of that good sarsaparilla?
Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.
To put roses on your